Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. You know, this is an important show today with information you or someone you know may need for good health. We're talking about type 1 and type 2 diabetes and especially focusing on our younger people. Diabetes is surging in the under 20-year-old set, 20 years old and under, population in America. The statistics, quite frankly, are shocking. So here to help us understand this trend and what we need to know to protect our young people is Sandy Frank from Bonner General Health. She's a registered dietitian, and she's the lead diabetes educator at Bonner General Health. My name is Barbara, and we will get into the details and all this good information for you right after these messages.
For over 45 years, Sandpoint Superdrug has looked for ways to make your life easier, combining the pharmacy, housewares, hardware, and even lawn and garden in one store. Come in and see their beautiful yard art, a large collection of seeds, and a wide variety of lawn care products, from fertilizers to sprinklers. And if you're not sure exactly what you need, they have an incredibly knowledgeable staff to help answer any questions you might have. Open 7 days a week, Sandpoint Superdrug, on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint, making your life easier every day.
I'm Travis Thompson, candidate for state representative. I'm a lifetime resident of Bonner County and a small business owner. I understand the challenges we face. Taxes, housing costs, inflation, and supply chain issues are my priorities. I've spent the last 10 years volunteering to understand how to affect change in our government process. I'm here to represent the people's interests, not the special interests. Please vote Travis Thompson, May 17th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Travis Thompson, Idaho State Representative, Madalena Marino, Treasurer.
With hot, dry summers occurring more frequently, our forests are in more danger than ever. And whether you've lived here a long time or are new to the area, you will be affected, especially if you own forest land. Droughts weaken a forest's ability to fight off disease or invasive bugs. If you own 10 or more acres of forest land, Idaho Forest Group has a suggestion. We can schedule a free, no-obligation tour of your property and help design a plan to minimize the damage to your timber inventory from bugs or disease. Our goal is to make and maintain the health and value of your forest land investment. And if selective thinning is suggested, you may choose to sell any merchantable trees that are removed. Bugs and disease can take a toll on your timberland, so a visit by an Idaho Forest Group forester can help minimize your losses and maintain a healthy forest for years to come. To schedule a free site assessment, visit ifg.com.
As a longtime resident of Bonner County, raising fifth-generation grandchildren, I have seen a lot of changes in our county over the years. We are rapidly losing our rural land and our essential way of life. As heirs of this land, we carry a great responsibility, and one day we will pass the torch to a new generation. Once our rural lands vanish, they are gone forever. Dave Bowman is stepping up to the challenge to secure a rural way of life for our children and grandchildren. Dave is a man of integrity and cannot be bought. He is a leader who will bring accountability and transparency into all areas of managing the county's business. He is a problem solver and is eager to work on solid and lasting solutions based on the law. If we want to keep our rural lands for future generations, there needs to be genuine change. I vote for Dave Bowman, for the people, for the land, and for the future.
This message from Betty Anderson was paid for by Bowman for Commissioner, Susan Bowman, Treasurer.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, come on back in. Say hello and welcome to Sandy Frank from Bonner General Health. Sandy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate it.
Well, at the lead end of the show, as you heard, I was talking about type 1, type 2 diabetes, and concerning young people under 20 years old, and the numbers, at least nationwide, are astounding. So help us look at these numbers again.
And the numbers are increasing. Prediabetes, over 30% of adults in the U.S. have prediabetes. 8 out of 10 don't even realize it. So that's most common. Type 2, 90% of those with diabetes have type 2. Then there's type 1. There's gestational diabetes when you're pregnant. But the number of under 20, as you mentioned, with type 2 is growing.
You know, it is shocking, Sandy, that the number of young people under 20, it's almost doubled just since 2000. So I think the last solid statistics they have measured is 2017 or 2018. It was up like 95% in that age group. So clearly it's not grandpa's disease anymore.
Right.
You usually think of it as being older people that get the type 2 diabetes. So let's talk about type 2.
Okay.
What is happening when somebody is either pre-type 2 diabetes or they're full-on diabetes?
And we call it insulin resistance. Their body is producing insulin, but it's not utilizing it as it should. And so the body keeps producing more insulin because we need insulin to get our glucose from our blood into the cells. So if we don't have enough insulin, the glucose stays in the blood. Blood is every part of our body, our eyes, our heart, our GI tract, our kidneys, our feet, and it can affect all of those.
So too much glucose is damaging. What is too much glucose when it starts going up because the insulin is not being effective, right?
Right.
What is actually happening to the body when your blood glucose gets high like that?
And it could affect our eyesight, it could affect our heart, it could affect our kidneys. So that's why diabetes is definitely controllable, but we need to take action for it.
All right. Well, let's talk first of all about why do we think, before we get to treatment or God willing, prevention is what we want to get to. But what is it that's causing, do you believe? What are the doctors seeing that's causing this kind of surge in pre- or full-blown type 2 diabetes in our young people?
Overweight is a big factor. And then lack of activity, which affects our weight, our eating, the sugar-sweetened beverages, then all of that corresponds with weight. Those would be the biggest factors of why the surge.
Why the surge is happening.
Right.
Okay, so obesity or overweight. It doesn't take much to be overweight, I'm finding. Have they been changing the numbers or something? Because it seems like you had to be pretty high before. Now, they're really, they being the medical community, are seeing, you know, just that extra, however much extra weight really begins to affect our health, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And corresponding with that lack of activity, and then the what we're eating.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to that. You know, the thing that when you do your diabetes education and your patient is, let's say, a teenager, it would seem to me that the people that need to be sitting in that classroom with their kid is mom and dad, because they're the ones that buy the food.
Right.
And put the food on the table and stop at fast food. So is that correct? I mean, that would be the first line of defense, isn't it?
It definitely is. And doing it as a family is important, because taking care of diabetes is really being healthy. And so if the family can eat together the meals and eat healthy meals, if they can be active together, that's going to help not only the child, but it helps the parents as well.
Yeah. Do you find that diabetes genetic?
There is definitely a genetic component.
So that's one kind of dangerous signal. But I like what you say, that the family can eat together more correctly and exercise together more faithfully together.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody's health is affected. So, I know one question I wanted to get out in the very beginning, and that is the numbers I was reading were all nationwide trends. They were just like across America, and it didn't have a lot of nuancing for the state. What about Idaho? Can you tell us? And what about, do you have numbers for like the Panhandle, our District 1 health district? How are we doing locally?
And what I have is from the Idaho Diabetes, Heart Disease, and Stroke Prevention Program that 9.7% of adults in Idaho have prediabetes. 7.6% of those living in Idaho are diagnosed with type 2. There's not a current accurate panhandle numbers, but I would say it's probably... following that statistic.
That we're not in a healthy bubble. We like to think we're in a bubble up here, but maybe not.
Those that are active, definitely it helps, and we've got a great place to be active.
Yeah. What about under 20 years old? Do we have any statistics that talk about our younger people, the way we see it surging across America?
I couldn't find specific to Idaho, but I did find that, 10 to 19-year-olds with diabetes, the type 2 annually, 5,700 of those, age bracket have increased. And so, it's increasing across the country.
Okay. So we want to, you've already said, being overweight, mm-hmm. certainly obese, those are two different stations along the way. Uh-huh. That is a contributing factor to diabetes.
Right.
If a person is diagnosed pre-diabetes, how much time do they have to, without getting on insulin, do they have to correct the situation?
It varies per person, and if they, the sooner they make changes with healthy eating, activity, getting their weight in a healthier place, if you've got prediabetes, it doesn't mean you're going to have diabetes, but you're at a higher risk, so you can take care of yourself. Those may get diabetes type 2 and may not even need to be on medication, especially insulin, if they do it lifestyle. It is a progressive disease, so often you're going to need medication as you get older, but there are some that can hold it with lifestyle only, and those with prediabetes, it doesn't mean they're going to necessarily have diabetes if they take care of themselves.
One of the questions I was thinking about, Sandy, and I think I have been diagnosed with hypertension for X number of years, and I'm on medicine, and it's controlled, and my doctor and I, we watch it very closely. But it seems to me that the numbers are changing. It used to be, it wasn't considered to be, I'm talking about high blood pressure, everybody, hypertension. That number, if you were above that number, that was a problem. If you were below, it seems like they've been moving that number down a little bit. So more and more people are saying, oh, wait a minute, I've got this hypertension thing going on. So it's my perception the numbers are changing. So not asking you about hypertension, but did that happen with our blood sugar ratio that used to be, it was okay to be, 130, but now it's 120 isn't even considered. Now, I just read an article talked about getting your blood sugar under 100. So talk to us. Have those numbers changed?
Well, for diagnosis, it's different than what the recommendation is and to be at a healthy level. But if you don't have diabetes, having your fasting blood glucose under 100 is appropriate. But if you have diabetes, fasting blood glucose 80 to 130 is considered in a good range.
Whoa, that's a big range. I was going to say, I think I was 82 the last time I was tested.
And so yours was great.
Yeah. And that's, I've not had a blood sugar issue previously. So that's good. Uh-huh. So 80 to 130, is that what you said?
Right, and that's for people that have diabetes.
That have diabetes.
Yeah.
That's kind of a wide shot that people should be able to get within that number. I don't know. Once your body is having difficulty, then it might be harder to hit it.
Right, it depends on what your pancreas is doing.
Okay. Is there some kind of contraindication? You've talked about obesity and lack of exercise and sugary food, not the right kind of food. And it could be genetic, but is there some